This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hello, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. That's of course if we make it there on time, because first we need to take a quick trip around the universe with this week's Fun Kids Science Weekly. This is where we take a deep, tasty look at some of the most weird, amazing and deadly things that exist. We get all the breaking science news, and then we get back on Earth faster than Santa can swallow some cookies and milk and maybe a mince pie or two. Now this week we're learning about the T-Rex of the oceans. Also, we'll hear how plans to build a supersonic car have been saved, and we'll chat to a genetics expert about what makes you, you, about what makes you only just different from me, and only slightly different from a gorilla. That's on the way. Also, I've got some shout-outs to do after we find out how Santa really does travel so fast.
Santa Maury's Science of Christmas.
Hello, Santa Maury here. You know, the one in charge of all the science and technology here at the North Pole. Now, did you know that there's nearly 7 billion people in the world? That's a lot of homes to visit, and Santa hasn't much time. He starts at sundown on Christmas Eve in Australia and has to finish just before dawn on Christmas morning in Alaska. That's just 36 hours to play with. Now, whilst in the countryside, each home may be a few miles apart, luckily in the cities, homes are a little closer together, sometimes only a few feet apart. That certainly helps. Santa has to travel 10 million kilometres in those 36 hours. If all he had to do was travel from house to house in this time, he would need to move at an average speed of 77 kilometres per second. That's 3,000 times the speed of sound. Talking about the speed of sound, ever heard a sonic boom on Christmas Eve? Sonic booms are shockwaves sent out when the sleigh catches up with the pressure wave it generates whilst moving. You haven't heard that, have you? Well, that's because we've created a form of anti-sound using a special speaker on the rear of the sleigh. Now, where was I? Ah, yes. Santa doesn't just travel from house to house. At each house, he has to park, go down the chimney, deliver presents, fill stockings, eat cookies and milk, go up the chimney and get back on the sleigh. And all within 130 microseconds per home. And then there's all that stop and starting to consider. Going from 77 kilometres per second to rest and back to 77 kilometres per second again means an average acceleration of over 1 billion Gs. That would be the same force on Santa as stacking three skyscrapers on top of him. To compensate for this and keep his blood flowing normally, we have developed Santa an amazing pressurised suit combined with a biological turbine system that's far more powerful than a human heart. There's only one thing that travels as fast through the air as Santa, and that's meteors, or as they're better known, shooting stars. There's, just one problem with meteors. They tend to burn up in the atmosphere. Now that wouldn't do. We need Santa, and the presents in one piece. Oh, and the reindeers too, of course. Sorry, Rudolph. It's all to do with something called air resistance. The faster something moves through the air, the more heat it generates. It's similar to the friction heat you feel when you rub your hands together. Now, because Santa is travelling so fast, we need to get rid of this build-up of heat before it can hurt him, or worse. Now, with Santa moving as fast as he does, we need to dissipate, that means get rid of, 57 trillion joules of heat every second to avoid him burning up like a meteor. This conundrum gave our crack team of engineering elves quite a headache, but they came up with a brilliant solution to keep Santa safe whilst allowing him to keep the speed up. First of all, they came up with a special cockpit that surrounds Santa and the presents when he starts reaching very high speeds. Open sleighs might look pretty, but they make the driver very vulnerable to air resistance. And the weather too when we're closer to Earth. Then, to counter the effect of air resistance, they created the most advanced heat shield ever made, protecting both the reindeer and Santa. It's an ion shield of charged particles, held together by a magnetic field which surrounds the entire sleigh. We did once experiment with a more aerodynamically advanced vehicle that pushed the air in front of the sleigh out of the way, leaving only a smooth breeze, a little bit of oxygen for Santa to breathe. It helped reduce the air resistance, or the drag, and kept the heat down a little, but it just didn't look the same. After all, you lot are used to seeing Santa in a sleigh, not a supersonic jet.
Santa Maury's Science of Christmas, with support from the Institute of Physics, the Royal Aeronautical Society, and the Institution of Engineering and Technology. Find out more at funkidslive.com/Christmas.
Remember, if you want a shout out on the show, and if you've got a science question that you need answered by a proper genius expert, you need to get to the iTunes podcast store and leave the Fun Kids Science Weekly a review. That's what Lillian Davis has done. Hello, Lillian. She says that she never goes to sleep without sticking on one of our shows. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not. I mean, it's nice that you listen to us, Lillian, but also you are saying that we do send you to sleep, which kind of isn't the point. But anyway, Lillian wants to know how a light bulb works. I can answer this, Lillian. It's all to do with the filament, which is a tiny, short and thin little bit of metal. It's been coiled up, squeezed together. And metal is a conductor of electricity. It lets it pass through it. And the filament that's in the middle of the bulb lets the electricity run through it, but it makes it work quite hard. And it's working so hard that it gets really hot. And then the filament burns white and bright. And that's how you get the light from your bulb, because of a burning piece of metal. Thank you so much for the question, Lillian. Also, hello to Grace in Australia and to Darcy, who have sent in epic questions about mammals and about the desert. I will find an expert to answer those for you girls in the next few weeks in the brand new year. So thanks so much for that. And if you've got a question that you want answered by the Fun Kids Science Weekly, and if you want a shout out on the show as well, you need to leave us a review on the iTunes podcast store. It's the Fun Kids Science Weekly. So every year, the Royal Institution, it puts on Christmas lectures as kind of a present of making your brain a little bit bigger, I guess. Now, this year, they're asking some of the biggest questions. It's all about why we're all exactly the same, but also kind of completely different, really. Now, Professor Aoife McLeister, she's the head of the genetics department at Trinity College in Dublin. And this year, she's helping host all the lectures, all on the topic of who I am. Aoife, like FIFA, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, first question, how much choice do we have in who we are?
Oh, okay. That is a really easy question to start off on. Thank you so much. It's a really thick mixture of your genetics and your experiences and everything that's happened since the moment of conception right up through every moment of your life. All of that is your experiences and your environment. And the things you like, your preferences, the way you behave, it's a mixture of your genes and your environment. So it's nature and nurture.
I know that the first of your Christmas lectures is talking in quite detail about how we are different from animals.
Actually, how we are the same.
Oh, okay.
Yes. We're talking about how we and our animals, just like any other animals, and we see huge similarities. We want everyone watching the lectures to see this and really realize actually we're just part of this enormous thing, which is all of the life on this planet, about 9 billion species, and we're just one of them, which is so we want people to feel this connection with every living thing on the planet.
You can see just how much you're like your pet dog or frog, perhaps. Here's the deal, Aoife. So we get questions sent in from listeners.
Yeah.
If you've got a question that you want answered by a proper science expert, just like Aoife here, like an actual head of genetics in one of the biggest universities in the world, you need to leave it as a review over on the iTunes podcast store. Now, I've got one here. This is from Prince Pug 900, Joseph, he's 9. And he asks, why are apes and monkeys so like us humans?
Well, they are because we're very close relatives. So, and their DNA is really, really like our DNA. So we already know that relatives look like each other, because you see that often siblings look quite alike, and people will probably tell you, oh, you look like your dad, or you look like your mom, or something like that. And even if you look at family photos and you see maybe your brother or your sister a few years ago, and you realize that they look a bit like you now. And so we know that having very similar DNA makes you look the same. And chimpanzees and gorillas are actually very close relatives of ours. We only separated from them a few million years ago, which sounds like a really long time, but in evolutionary terms, it's quite recent. And so I mentioned that between two randomly chosen human beings,
99.9%.
Yeah, but with us and, say, chimpanzees, it's 99.
So, oh, and that, yeah. Is that much difference?
Yeah, so we're only about 1% different.
And we're a completely different species.
Yes. So those small differences make all the difference. But this is why, you know, so the reason we are so similar to other apes is actually because we are apes. We're just the ones that don't have so much hair. Some exceptions to that, yeah, of course. Some of you might have a rather hairy father. But we're very close. We are apes. We're in the ape family. And those are our cousins. And we look like them because we're related.
Amazing. Aoife, Professor Aoife McLysett. So with the Royal Institution Christmas lectures, you've got three. Yes. When are they?
So they are going to be broadcast on BBC Four. And last year they were on Boxing Day and then the 2 days after. So 26, 27, 28. We think it's going to be the same days this year, but we're not totally sure yet.
So there you go. I mean, you're in your Boxing Day stupor.
Yeah.
You've eaten all the turkey that you can find. You're having your leftovers. You're trying to search if there's any presents that you've not, that maybe were secretly hidden from you. Have a watch of these. Hopefully they're on Boxing Day. Professor Aoife McLysett, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It's time for this week's Dangerous Dan, where we take a look at some of the most mean and evil things in the universe. And this week we're headed back millions of years ago to take a peek at the T-Rex of the oceans. The Thalatticon was the size of a school bus. It grew up to 8.5 metres. It's the lizard-eating ruler of the seas, with short, sharp teeth set into a huge, long jaw. It looked more like a lizard than a fish, and it would eat anything that came into its path. Now, the problem is we don't really know that much about what it was because they lived so long ago. The only known skeleton that we found of the Thalatticon isn't complete. So, as I say, we don't really know that much about it. But what we do know is terrifying. It was huge. It was menacing. Brutal. It was like a lizard in the sea. The size of a bus, it lived about 250 million years ago. And for something to be called the T-Rex of the ocean amongst scientists, it's got to be pretty dangerous. As it's a special Christmas episode of the Fun Kids Science Weekly, it's time to check back in with Santa and get some Christmas by numbers.
Santa Maury's Science of Christmas.
Hello, Santa Maury here. You know, the one in charge of all the science and technology here at the North Pole. Deep under the pole, my team of elves and I experiment with some of the latest technology behind heat-resistant materials, genetic computing, and warped metrics of time and space. Also, we can improve on the reliability of Santa Claus to deliver presents to children every year. Now, maybe you think that Christmas hasn't got anything to do with numbers, unless you're counting the number of sleeps until the big day. But Christmas is full of numbers. Here, let me explain. Across the world, old Santa will be delivering gifts to around 1.6 billion children on Christmas Eve. That's visiting over 5,000 homes every second to make sure every child gets a gift. With an average of 2.5 children per household, Santa will need to make 640 million stops on Christmas Eve. Oh, oh, oh. Now, Santa is quite partial to the odd glass of milk and a mince pie as he travels around. If he drinks a 200 milliliter glass of milk and eats one mince pie at each home, he will consume, blimey, almost 130 million litres of milk by the time he's finished. Enough to fill over 50 Olympic swimming pools. He will also have eaten nearly 40,000 metric tons worth of mince pies. To work off these extra calories, Santa would need to walk 1.3 billion miles, which is 54,000 times around the circumference of the Earth. And all of that is after the presents have been wrapped. Now, on average, each elf can wrap a present in 10 seconds. Working on an 8-hour day, we need 3,000 elves in the wrapping department to work for an entire year to get the job done. And assuming that each present needs 80 centimetres of wrapping, we use over 1.5 million miles of paper. And once wrapped, all those presents have to go somewhere. Prior to the big night, we store all the presents in this huge warehouse. It's so big in here that you could fit in 240,000 double-decker buses. So you can see how hard Santa and the elves have to work. So make sure you don't forget that mince pie on Christmas Eve. And a carrot for Rudolph.
Santa Maury's Science of Christmas. With support from the Institute of Physics, the Royal Aeronautical Society, and the Institution of Engineering and Technology. Find out more at funkidslive.com/Christmas.
Right, let's have a look at all the science that has been in the news this week. NASA's New Horizons probe remains on course for its daring flyby of Ultima Thule. It will sweep past the 30-kilometre wide object, Thule, floating around the edge of the solar system, which is 6.5 billion kilometres from Earth. It will take photos and gather other data 3,500 kilometres from the surface of it. Also, dozens of dinosaur footprints from at least 100 million years ago have been discovered in East Sussex in the UK. At least 7 different species have been identified by research in the prints. They're from the early Cretaceous period, and they're so well preserved that skin, scales, and even claws are visible. And finally, the Bloodhound supersonic car project has been saved. And we've spoken about this project loads of times on the Science Weekly before. We've even chatted to one of the designers of the car. It's their plan to take a vehicle over 1,000 miles an hour. Now, its future was at risk when it ran out of money, but a British entrepreneur has stepped in to buy the business. So that is it for this week on the Fun Kids Science Weekly. Thank you so much for giving us a listen. We'll be back next week with our last episode for 2018, where we'll take a look back at some of the best chats with genius experts and some of the most dangerous things that we've heard about in the last 12 months. Make sure you don't miss it. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, places like that. It will automatically download it to your phone or tablet. You can also find us over on the iTunes podcast store while you're there. Listen to all the brilliant science series that we've had. Some of them have been on the show today. You can ask us a question for an expert on there as well by leaving the Fun Kids Science Weekly a review. Now, Fun Kids, we're a kids radio station all around the UK. You can listen to us on your DAB digital radio, on that free Fun Kids app, and at funkidslive.com.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.